Discovering our extraordinary God in the ordinary things of life. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer on Relevant Radio.
I was thinking back to this really great experience that I had in the seminary in formation to become a priest. I was working at a home for elderly people just as a short experience in pastoral ministry. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop. It's a Friday, and I can feel it. Boy, am I looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to enjoying the blessings God has in store for us. But I'm so glad that you and I can spend this time together. Thanks for tuning in. This time period, it was a short time. I want to say 6 months. Did it last the whole academic year? I don't think so. I think it was just for one academic semester. And once a week, I'd go for the better part of the day. And I would spend time with the residents at this, it wasn't a retirement home, like an assisted living home. And it was a really moving experience, right? Because here are folks that some of them have families that are close to them. Others have families who have abandoned them. Some are, their minds are very clear and they're lucid and they understand what's going on. And others don't even recognize the good things that you're doing or what you're saying to them. Some people, their needs are very basic, and others are very complex, you know, and the feelings and struggles that they're facing are very difficult for them to navigate. It was very challenging, I have to say, for me. I'm not naturally comfortable in that environment. I'm not. And so it took some getting used to. But in the process, I think one of the greatest blessings that I had was to have a religious sister who was my supervisor there at the time. This was a place run by this incredible group of religious sisters, so faithful to their commitments, so service-minded and so focused on Jesus. And every time we would get together, my supervisor would be challenging me, you know, asking me, where did you see Jesus in this? And how did you present Jesus to the residents here? And it was, and always in a very supportive, beautiful way. And I would share, you know, the great blessings and the challenges. And it was a really, really powerful thing. We became friends after that experience, you know, which I'm grateful for. And something about her approach was really one of the most instructive things to me. It was the way that she went through some difficult situations, some easy situations, some very uplifting, some very discouraging. I never, in those few months that I spent with her and in the years after, I never once heard her complain. Never once heard her complain about her job, about residents, about me, about her situation, about anything. She never, not, can you imagine how rare is that? I don't know that I've met anybody else that I could say that about. No offense, Noah, but it's just true, right? It's just true. James, I'm looking at you. All right? No, it's just, we all fall into that trap, it seems like. We all fall into this trap of wanting to criticize, wanting to complain about our experiences, struggling with what we're going through at a particular time. Maybe you face this more than others. I know I've gone through periods in my life where I complain more than other times. When I first entered the seminary, I was really catching myself, realizing this is not a good quality to have, to be complaining a lot. But then I don't think I've been as good about it lately, you know. I don't know. I don't want to make this into a confession, but I see a lot of growth in that area, right? And I've been thinking about this because, it comes up regularly in spiritual counseling and talking with individuals. At what point does venting and processing your feelings become complaining, right? At what point can you share things with your spouse or with your coworkers about frustrating experiences, which sometimes we need to do. Sometimes we need to process things. Sometimes we need to work through it. But sometimes we end up complaining and criticizing and expressing things that just don't need to be expressed. And what's the difference between this? I've been reflecting on this. I mean, what is the difference here? Some thoughts for you that I've been reflecting on myself, I think. First of all, there's something cathartic about venting, right? I mean, there's something that's good, makes us feel good anyway. It doesn't always solve the problem, rarely solves the problem. but sometimes it will solve our emotions or help us resolve those emotions. When we just talk about a situation, and sometimes that's why counseling is helpful. Sometimes that's why we just need somebody to listen to us. We can process this and then we can let go of our frustration because now we've worked through it and somebody has heard us. And that's what I would say is venting. It's rather neutral when it doesn't turn into gossip, when it doesn't turn into unfair criticism of people, right? Complaining, I think, is different. Complaining is when I'm choosing to put the blame outside of myself, or I'm deciding that somebody else is responsible for this. Venting can venture into that realm, right? But oftentimes I think venting is just for this release, whereas complaining keeps me in my, well, my stagnant swamp of feelings and emotions. I'm just not working to get out of it. I don't know if this is making sense to you, but there's a difference here. There's a real qualitative difference to this that I think is important to reflect on. And I've been thinking about it now in particular as we're reading through the book of Job, right? If you're going to Mass during the week, you're hearing the book readings from the book of Job, which, of course, we all know is this amazing reflection on suffering and on how God allowed his very faithful servant Job to experience so much loss and so much pain and suffering. And here's the whole book is essentially this reflection on, well, why? Why does this happen? And how do we work through this? And how do we process this? In fact, we heard at the beginning of the week readings from the third chapter of Job. But if you went to Mass today, and if you have been following along, you notice that we fast-forwarded, we skipped over a large part of Job, the book of Job. It's a long book. I mean, if we read through the whole thing in Mass, we'd spend a while on all of that. And a lot of it are these rather technical theological reflections, both by Job and by his friends, trying to figure out what is God's purpose in suffering here. But something happens in today's reading. It's the 38th chapter of Job that, to me, is a turning point in Job's life. Job has been complaining. Now, some of it is legitimate. I mean, some of it is Job saying to the Lord, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? I mean, naked I came into this world, naked I shall go forth from this world, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job is on sometimes, you know, processing this, maybe venting, but coming to grips with it and realizing God's the one that's in charge. But I think it's fair to say, if you read through Job yourself, I think it's accurate to say that there's a lot of what Job's saying that is, he questions the righteousness of God. He questions God's all-knowing, omniscient quality. He even questions the goodness of God at certain points, right? He even goes so far as to say that God's on the side of evil people, that God favors wickedness over goodness, which of course is just completely contrary to the nature of God himself. So that can't be right. But Job, in his desperation to figure out what's going on with his life, has gotten to this point. And so through much of the book of Job, for many chapters, he's looking at his situation in life and he's complaining. He's complaining. And I think that's the best way to describe it. In fact, the book itself will refer to Job and his complaints, right? But something happens after all of this complaining. Something happens where Job realizes all of this is silly. In fact, the turning point, I think, is when God finally steps in and says, How are you still complaining? How are you still criticizing me? Do you not understand? Have you ever seen the whole of the universe? Have you ever seen the entire ends of the earth, from the tiniest thing to the whole of its grandeur? Have you ever seen the millennia that have passed and seen how the earth is shaped? I mean, God is going into the mystery of creation and why things exist at all, and why is there light and why is there darkness and what are the extents of the universe? And I mean, he's getting into all of this. And Job finally has to come to grips with the fact that he He's so little in God's plan. He's so small in the midst of it. And he can't understand all of this. He can't grasp what God has in mind and God's plans. In fact, Job will end up saying this to the Lord. Behold, I am of little account. What can I answer you? I put my hand over my mouth. Though I have spoken once, I will not do so again. Though twice, I will do so no more. It's not that he is content with God's answer. It's not that he's, oh, okay, that makes sense. Now I can be quiet now. Now I don't need to talk about this anymore. No more venting for me. No more complaining. I'm okay. No, he just realizes that the time for complaining has passed. And the time for him to run his mouth off against God is over. That in fact, maybe now he needs to enter into the mystery of what it means to be a creature in relationship to God, who is creator. He gets to a point where all of a sudden he has to be satisfied with what he knows and what he doesn't know. This is something I think that all of us have to arrive at it, not just once in our life, but over and over. We complain about things. We wonder, why does our boss treat us this way? And why are decisions made in ways that don't make sense to us? Why do our families exist the way they do? Why do we have the pain and suffering in our life? I mean, we can complain about great, big things and small things. We can complain about people. We can complain about our situations. And we do. And we vent and we get frustrated and we share it. But usually that doesn't fix the problem. Rarely does that fix the problem. Oftentimes we have to arrive at the point where we say, okay, there's nothing more to say about this, at least nothing more productive to say about this. I could keep complaining. I could keep talking about this and keep wallowing in my misery and staying stuck in this swamp of my feelings. But instead, why don't I allow God to be God? Why don't I recognize that I don't have all the answers? That God doesn't owe me all the answers, that in fact, it's not even within my power to find all of the answers. And so I can let God be in control. And it's amazing what happens when we do that, when we allow God to be in control of our life. It's a type of surrender. We turn ourselves over to Him. We allow Him to guide our life. We allow Him to answer the big questions that face us and the ones that we would like answered. I would like to present this point of reflection for you. How much are you complaining these days? Maybe you're complaining about the church, about our country, about youth, about adults. Maybe you're complaining. I don't know. There's lots of complaints and a lot of complaining that can go around. Maybe there's even venting that's happening, and some of it we need to get out. We need to share with our loved ones or with our counselors or with people who can help us to see things, right? And to avoid sin in the process, to not gossip and to not talk about things that we shouldn't, that aren't our business. But to also realize that sometimes we need to work through these in a charitable way. But if you and I can reach the point where we realize that, okay, that's enough, right? That's enough. Now I'm going to turn this over to God. Now, like Job, I'm going to realize I don't have the answers. I'm not going to have all the answers. And I'm not going to be happy in this perpetual cycle of trying to find all the answers and to know everything. So instead, I'm going to allow God to be in charge. Something happens inside of us where we can find happiness again. And it doesn't depend on the actions of others. It doesn't depend on circumstances becoming perfect in our life anymore. It just means that we are now creatures and God is the creator. It just means that now you and I are trusting and following the Lord. We still have sufferings and we could still complain, but we realize that there's more to life than that. I guess what I would offer to you, maybe as we head into the weekend as well, as you have some time to reflect and to think about the Lord and think about your relationship with Him, think about your life and think about your relationships with others, is to say, maybe we complain too much. You know, maybe we criticize unnecessarily. Maybe instead of working productively to solve and improve situations, all of our talking about them and commiserating over things isn't actually helping us. And maybe we have to reach the point where, like Job, we're going to allow God to resolve these things and allow God to give us the answer in his time. I'm not saying that we should just be quiet about problems in the world. I'm not saying that we should just never address them. That's not at all what I'm saying, right? Because there is a time for us to address situations that need to be addressed and to correct individuals when we're in a place to do so, charitably always and according to the precepts of the gospel. But there are also times when I think, like that religious sister that I knew, where we have to live our lives without being complainers. To me, it was a powerful witness of this sister who found holiness, I'm quite sure, in turning things over to God continually. I don't think it's because nothing bothered her. I don't think it's because she was fine with everything that happened in her life. I think it was because she chose to allow God to be in charge. Maybe you and I can do the same thing.